Lord Jesus Christ, we are so honored to be here in your name. We are assembled as born-again, newborn creatures made in your image, carrying with us your Holy Spirit, our new hearts, our capacity for truth. We never had it before by our first birth. But by our new birth, we have been given abundant grace, great promise, great privilege, great honor. We've been crowned with glory and honor, for we are called by your name, God. And we came here tonight to hear something by testimony, by song, by our neighbors praying with us, by faces, by words, by eyes, by hearts, by hands, by feet, to glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Give us a slice of bread tonight, God. Another piece, a word in season, words of faith, encouragement. Help us to reach our generation. Help us to reach the people around us. Help us open our mouths to speak as we ought to and make known the mysteries of Christ. Help us in our working place. Fill our church always with people seeking and that they would find. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, they would find. Isn't that amazing? They are seeking. They don't need to find us, right? They can find. We want them to find Christ. Amen? And that's us too. But that's beautiful. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 18, verse 2 for our introductory thought. And we had a beautiful day today. And thank you for your love and prayers. Constantly around the world. Eurocon is coming up in a few weeks, and we'll be flying some and pray about it, going to Budapest, where some of us lived. Actually, we had about 300 people from around the different parts of the world come and live and be on that team through the 1990s. A lot of us have a history there. We have friends, we have footsteps of faith, God doing something that no human being could do, but you and I are called by God for this work. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 2. We mentioned it at the 11 o'clock. A fool has no delight in understanding. What kind of understanding? He only has two eyes in his head. How many eyes do you have? I wonder. Eyes represent understanding and perspective. We walk as men with two eyes, but a wise man, he has more than two eyes. He has help from the Holy Spirit. He understands. And then the part B, but that his heart may discover itself. So we draw the picture like this. Here's a man, and his desire is to discover his heart. That's his life. That's why sometimes people study psychology, because they want to discover themselves. Very easy to do. We all are curious about ourselves, why we do what we do, why am I depressed, why am I afraid of people, why do I have a personality disorder, why is my temperament this way or that way. It's very natural, but it's also from God saying, no. You don't need to discover your heart. I'll tell you your heart Your heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can you know your heart? Not really. God knows my heart. Are you a good man? Yeah, I'm a good man. I'm an honest guy. I'm legit. I'm the real thing. I'm an honest guy. I don't think so. Why do you say that? Because God says that. If you and I, if we look at Romans 3, 10 to 18, we have a good description of ourselves. Maybe that's all we need to know. My heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Is that why the marriages struggle? And that's why men abandon their families and leave home? And is that why relationships are broken? Because we're good guys? Because we're honest and legit and dedicated and committed? No. Not according to what we read here. And a fool, this is a strong word, isn't it? A fool, sometimes translated simple. The word simple means open. You've heard us speak about this before. Open. Open mouth. Open door in a house. Close the door. The animals will come in. Close the door. The insects will come in. Close the screen door. The mosquitoes will come in. Close the door. The goat will come in from the farmhouse. Close the door. The snake will get in the house in the basement. Close the door. The simple man doesn't close. He stays open. And he receives way too much. Way too much. Wow, I think I got another message right now. Way too much. Way too much. That's the message. Yeah, he receives way too much stuff. He is not shutting down. He has no way. He doesn't know how to do it because his heart, he doesn't have a heart to filter it. It's not in his heart. He eats up the stuff in life without saying no. No, let's practice that for a minute. No. Go ahead, say it gently, softly. No. Like, say it, like, draw out the O. No. No. Do it sharp. No. Do it loud. No. Never. Never. No. No, no way. Can't happen. Not here, not in this house. No, it can't happen. How about that? I'm just playing around. Think about it. Look at verse 2 again. The fool has no delight in understanding. He doesn't enjoy this message tonight, this morning. Doesn't enjoy the church. Doesn't enjoy God's word. Doesn't enjoy reading it out loud. He doesn't enjoy the fellowship. He doesn't enjoy the rebuke, the reproof, correction. He doesn't enjoy the teaching. Why? Because he wants to discover himself here. Hey, this is about me. We're talking about God. I want to hear about me. I want to know about me. Now notice here. Here's another guy. And here's God. And there is Jesus. And he hears Jesus. Lose your life, you will find it. No, I got my life. I got my life. And the Lord says, lose your right to your life. You'll find life. Okay, I will follow you. What does he do? The new birth gives us a new heart. This is love. Love, first commandment, love God. God is in our life now. What do you want to know? You want to know your own heart, or do you want to know God? I would like to know God. I'll take care of myself later. I'll let God deal with me. I want to know God. Could I hear your word? Could I follow you, obey you, trust you? Yes, come unto me. Learn of me. I've got something for you. I will teach you. You will rejoice. You will have faith. You will have patience. You'll have grace. Where does that come from, Lord? Me. I am God. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am your peace. I am your way. I am the answer for your life. No, no, Lord, they say that I need to learn like about myself. And Jesus said, now, I already got that covered. You're a miserable, empty person. I cannot trust you. I need to take you to the cross, crucify you, raise you from the dead, make you a new creation, fill you with the Holy Spirit, speak my word into your spirit, and you have fellowship with me, and you know me. And when you know me, I got you. I got you. I'll take care of you. Now notice something. Let me see if I can put that joke in there. Yeah, well, I'll tell two of them. The one of them was this morning. A four-engine airplane had an engine on fire. Billy Graham said that actually happened to him with one of his trips. The engine was on fire, but they landed safely. But he told this joke that the second engine went on fire, third engine, and before the fourth one went on fire, the pilot came out of his cabin with a parachute on. And he said, don't worry, I'm going to go get help. When I heard that joke, I thought about what the world says to us. They don't care about you. Psalm 142, verse 5. No man cares for my soul. The world system doesn't work. It will not save you. It will not help you. It will help us. It works. Actually, in many ways, I'm thankful for it. I mean, many of us are operating today because of all the benefits of our civilization. But behind it all is God. And then we see the collapsing of the American family. We see the collapse of moral values. We see the foolishness of people searching for their own heart and finding it to be something less than what they hoped it to be. And we are believers who have found a new way. Because let me draw a short little picture here. It goes like this. My heart is so bad, there's a hole in it, and this heart of mine is so bad that God says, I can't fix it. I got to give you a new one, a new heart without a hole in it. You know what? The Bible doesn't say change your heart. The Bible says, believe Christ. He has given you a new one. But he does say, change your mind. Change your, it's a different word. Change your mind. That's my decision. Well, that's the word for repentance, isn't it? Change of mind. I change my mind a lot in the course of a day. I have things that come from my old heart. This heart, the wicked things that bubble up from within my heart, they bubble up, they just kind of surface in my heart. And those things are mentioned in Mark 7, 21 to 23. And don't be surprised when those things bubble up in your heart. That happens. But what about this? That's not me. My old heart. Yes, not me. That's my old man. That's who I was. That's why Christ came. He shows me, I know who I am left to myself, but I also have an attitude in my mind about what God says about me. And what is it? What is it? It's basically like this. Here's me, myself with the hole in my heart, and this is my life, and then there is the new heart, and I agree with God. Hope I'm not losing you. I agree in my mind with God. You can agree with God in your mind. I'd like to show it to you. Turn to Psalm 119 and how it works. And 119. I was reading this out loud in my study room yesterday and just working on it and thinking about it in my heart and praying as I was reading it. In Psalm 119, verse 41. Was any of those pictures coming up? None of them? Wow, you guys were letting me do that drawing. You say, oh, look at the child drawing pictures. What? Okay. Thanks, Pastor Steve. Thank you. Okay. I believe you know this teaching and you're following it with me, but this is the part that takes a little exercise that you can take at home with you and you can think about it. I'm going to try to help you with it because you are born again. Born again means I have a heart like from God, and so I can be before God. Totally before God in faith. And all the things in my life, everything about it, the sad things, the good things, things I don't think about, things that I am deciding to think about. I'm deciding in my heart, what am I going to think about? So in my prayer, I'm there trusting God. I hurt somehow, or I'm afraid, like David said in the cave, that he said, no man cares for my soul. And nobody is, I look at my right hand and nobody is there. I kind of think somebody was there, but nobody really was there. Kind of like people are in the room, but maybe they aren't really there. Or my mother is there, but she may not really be there. Nobody really can be there for me except God himself. That's why the psalmist said, I have nobody in heaven but you and nobody on the earth but you only. And even in heaven, it says it that way, verse 26, even in heaven there isn't anyone but you. Wow. So, This is what I did. I just want to share it with you. Verse 41. Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord. This is a prayer. And you read it out loud to yourself. And something from this text will kind of stick to your heart. O Lord, even your salvation according to your word. And now I'm thinking, Lord, according to your word, salvation. That's what I believe you. I believe you for that. Verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. I have an answer to somebody who mocks me. I have an answer to the atmosphere that oppresses me. I have an answer to somebody who ridicules me. I have something, somebody puts me down, but it doesn't matter to me because I have your word. Your word that is able to quicken me and build me up. But I think there are layers in the word I like that thought too. You have the word. Let's say it's like this. Here's the word. Here's the word. And it's something like, you know, there's one dimension, and then there is another dimension to the word, and then there is something even more to the word. And there the word, it's more than just like what you think you know about it. It's life. The word is life. My words, they are spirit and they are life. This is because you are born again and have a new heart. And that word that is in you, the Spirit of God, it comes to you, but you and I have to read it. We have to think about it. Change my mind, not my heart. That's already done. My heart is after God. My heart is the new birth. My heart is the gift of God, the grace of God given to us in Jesus Christ, already done. So, verse 43. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I really believe it's something other than us. It's not our soul, it's your word. Don't take it out of my mouth. If your word is in my mouth, what is the word that said in the, let there be light, and there was light? The word that said to the man laying by the pool of Bethesda, take up your bed and walk. That same word that is in our Bible, that word that goes into our spirit and in our heart and in our meditation, and that meditation is what elevates you and is able to build you up so that you're not in this swamp over here. Where are we? That swamp of knowing myself. Oh, woe is me, and oh, my fears, my depression, my failures. Oh, no one likes me. My problems, my difficulties in life, my self-image. Oh, how will I ever change? You will never change. It's like the world talking to you. That's your condition. Here's your medication. You will never change. You have chronic depression. You have many of these different, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm just telling you. That the world doesn't always, why not get counsel from God? Hundreds and hundreds of years, 2,000 years, 4,000 years. The Jews live by the word of God. Christ lived by the word of God. The church lives by the word of God. The saints that mean anything in life, they live by the word of God. What do? In our marriage, we receive with meekness the engrafted word. There you go. That's a good verse for our message here. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. I know this sounds a little mechanical, but it isn't. You'll get the idea. You follow it with me. Let's go to verse 44. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. I think that means that I keep this forever and ever. I'm like this before the Lord in my heart and waiting on the Lord, and in the memory, God can bring words and then meditation, and then he says something, look up this. Literally, I believe it works like that. He can put it in my heart. I might look up a verse, like look up Isaiah 61, verse 10, or verses that are in our reserve, in our bank, things that we have heard and relate to, our theology, our doctrine, our Bible studies, our meditation, our quietness. And I might, listen, I can say to God, Lord, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know that. My memory is not good. I'm also getting older, so I don't know. But I know that before you gave me a new heart. And I've decided in my mind to relate to you based on what you have said. And I will not accept the garbage that comes in this life. I don't want it. I do, but I repent from it. I do get confused by it or troubled by it, but I repent from it. And I come to this place. Okay. Go to verse 45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. That's fun. I will walk at liberty. It's almost like if I walk at your precepts, everything is working fine. I have liberty. I can be who I am. I have liberty. I'm not self-conscious. We're God-conscious. How'd you get your liberty? I got occupied with his precepts. We get occupied with his life. We are worshipers of God, so we have liberty. Liberty. We have a lot of liberty to do a lot of different things, and that is one of the characteristics of a spirit-filled brother or sister, is that they walk in liberty and sensitivity. Verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. It will not be ashamed. I love these NFL football players, athletes, golfers, Olympic gold medalists. I love the quarterbacks. I love the guy said, they don't care. Are you kidding me? Do they care about if they have the Spirit of God and they have the opportunity to give a testimony? They will not back off before kings, and they will not be ashamed, because they know how they got to where they got, and they believe, and they know because this is what they say. But we don't have to be great people. We just are who we are, and we're very satisfied with who we are because that word resonates in our new heart. Verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. So do I love them? Now here it goes in the prayer. I don't love them. I love them. I don't love them. I should love them. I don't love them. Lord, do I love them? And he goes, you love them. Yes, Lord, I love them. You see, this is like working it. I got to be honest with God. Do I love them, Lord? Do I love your law? Do I love your rules? Do I love your judgments? Do I love your testimony? Do I love what you have to say to me? Do I love being corrected by you? And then I have to reflect on it. And there's something in me that says no. And then there is that waiting on God. And I say, Lord, it's the difference between these two pictures. I hope you can get this with me. It's the difference between these two pictures. It is me trying to discover myself. And I say, do I love your commandments? Do I love or this picture with the new heart? God says, you love me. And I say, I do. You love my judgments. I say, I know, I do. I love them. I love what you say more than anything. I love your ways more than any way. I love your heart and your mind. What is happening in my meditation? What is happening in this process of fellowship with God? I'm being very honest with God, and he's also speaking to my heart on the basis of the new birth, on the basis of grace, on the basis of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world to change us, to fill us, to satisfy us, equip us, make us able to say, I can take a beating. It's okay. I can take a beating because Christ is in me. I've learned to be abased. I've learned to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm the first one to say, I cannot. And then God is the one that says, you can. Do you get that? God says, yes, you can. Wait a minute. The Lord, did you say it? And he says, I did. And enjoy it. And I say, I do. Look at the psalm, the next verse. It's verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto your commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Here it comes. There's the final part. I just want to tell you, and it'll come to you. It'll come to you strong. It'll come. Oh, it's real. It'll come. This life of faith, it works. It'll come. The power of God will come. It'll come in your spirit. It'll come in your heart. It'll come in your worship. It'll come in your devotion. It'll come in your prayer. It'll come in body life. It'll come. It'll build you up. You'll say, I can't. You just say, it's real. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a sinful man. But I don't think like that. I'm thinking another way. I have found Jesus Christ in my daily life. I have found Christ in my trials. I found Christ in this other stuff. I mean, it's just kind of falling away, dropping away. I'm not spending a lot of time thinking about myself and my stuff. That God will take care of that. We have found the high road, the living and moving way. We have found a way of faith, a way of worship, a way of faith and simple trust and praise. But here comes that funny joke. It was a guy who joined in the army, and he never wanted to jump out of an airplane. And he was so pessimistic about it. And they put him in the paratrooper group anyway. And he said, I never want to get in an airplane, never fly. They said, you have to. And you have to jump out of a plane. And they said, I don't want to. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. They said, we'll throw you out of the plane. You have to do it. We'll force you, but we'll give you two parachutes. And we're going to throw you out of the plane. If the first chute doesn't open up, the second one will. And besides, there'll be a Jeep down there waiting for you when you land. So they threw him out of the plane. He pulled the first chute. It didn't open. He said, I knew it. I knew that would happen. So he pulled the other cord. That didn't open. He said, I knew it. And probably the Jeep isn't down there waiting either. You know what I mean by that? There are some people so stubborn in this one here, this picture. I'll never change. I'm occupied with myself. I got my way. And that's how I'm going to live. And I'm a Christian. And God says to us, you have no idea what I can do for you. You have no idea how much I'll satisfy you. How much peace you will have if you trust me. You have no idea. It'll happen to you. I will fill you with my spirit. I will satisfy your soul with good things. I will carry you. I will show you. I will anoint you with fresh oil. I'll call you by name. I'll lead you in and out. I'll guide you with my eye. I am God. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we just want every one of us here to know you, walk with you, worship you, enjoy you, and find a new way of life. Not subjective thinking, but objective faith. directed to you. That's our new way of life, to be focused on you, to hear what you have to say to us. And that means we will say no to a lot of things in the world that are going around us. We'll say, no, I don't do that thing. No, I don't do that. No, I don't go there. No, I'm not interested in that. No, shut that off. Shut that off. I don't want that. Get that out of my house. I don't want that. No, that's not happening. No, I don't like it. I've got something else going on in my that does not. I don't want anything that grieves your Holy Spirit. I don't want anything that will quench your Holy Spirit. That includes my attitudes. It includes my words that grieve you. It includes my stubborn attitude about things in life. I've got to be broken before you, Lord, and read your word, and sometimes out loud, quietly for an hour, or maybe whatever, 5 minutes, but just before you, and speak to us. And we will embrace it with our renewed mind and believe it in our new heart and worship you in it. Thank you. Use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Then anyone not a believer, come to Jesus by faith. Come as you are. He's alive. He's alive. The tomb is empty. He's seated at the right hand of God. He is for you. He will help you. He will bless you. He will answer you. He will guide you. He will uphold you. He will quicken you. He will fill you. He will show you his love. He loves you. Put your trust in him tonight. Put away your sin. Confess it. Put it away. Forget it. Drop it. Believe him. In Jesus' name, amen.